everyone, welcome to More Than Mises, guys. We are going over UK Marvel Transformers, Marvel UK Transformers episode in our issue 31 with
I'm having
the
an episode.
yeah, you usually are though. The Dinobots, no more missing nice guys, which I'm digging the cover already. You just this is how I always remember the Dinobots in the comics. You know, like basically like a brute squad. They're really good at what they did. So that's what we're going into with this. And also, I will note that this cover is fantastic just because the way it's set up. But also, you get the next scene from the trailer, the original, iComics trailer, in a little, the Marvel square at the top left. So and he has now left the cliff.
Yes. Elvis has left the building and Optimus has left the cliff.
And this is from October 19th, 1985. That's when this issue comes out. So think about that when we're thinking about the where the timeline for the show and the toy line itself was. It's going pretty quick.
Oh yeah, like around this time, what this is right around the time we started getting like aerial bots and Stunicons.
And I don't know because I've forgotten how this goes in the comics. We have something that's being talked about in the next issue that may lead to the next big team coming into this. And I'm sure I'm considering the number of them, I'm sure I know what it is. But we'll get into that later. No big deal. And quick Robo Capers, dude, this the no-nose alien guy, it's not King No-Nose, but his one of his little henchmen or whatever is giving bedroom eyes to this robot.
Yeah, he's really enamored with just robots in general, it seems.
Yeah, it's kind of creepy actually. I know, it's really amazing the things that these robots can do these days, and that right there gave me a bad thoughts. The way he's looking at this robot, but turns out being a camera, robot camera, and takes a picture of him.
Yeah, which I mean, it's pretty obviously its function is, you
Yeah,
know,
is that a little
that.
flash on top of his head also? I
I
can't
think so. I mean,
for the way this guy is just watching it like, I love you do with you robot stuff. Yeah,
okay. Yeah, I had to look up what episodes were out season two for October. And I mean, okay, we started with Changing Gears in October, and October ended with, let's see, yeah, the Autobot Run. So like Make Tracks, Autobot Run. So
We're pretty soundly getting it like the first third of season two.
I'd say about midway. We're about midway
Midway,
through season two.
okay. I'm trying to think where Changing Gears is. There's a weird timey alignment thing in season two, like at the beginning, especially.
End of November was when the Kid Vector Sigma came out,
Okay, so yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
so yeah, this is like a month before that though, but you know, the cartoon is going 5 days a week, so they're
Yeah.
moving at a much faster pace.
Well, they have to with all of those episodes. And my God, they're not all bangers, as we've come to find out with Ed.
Oh yeah. Well, and like I said, the continuity between the episodes very loose, whereas, you know, comics keep the continuity pretty tight.
Well, the comics, I mean, just like they're doing with Skybound now, they did IDW before that and then Dreamwave to a point. It's all like one continuous story broken up into chapters.
Yeah, it's serialized.
Yeah, and that's why I think comics work better that way. The one thing that really loses it for me with comics is Dreamwave didn't do this as much. IDW is bad about this. Diversifying the story among all different kind of like if you needed to find out what happened to Megatron back here, you had to get the Megatron, spotlight, or when you had it. Marvel does this a lot. They'll say, well, if you want to find out what happened, you have to get the annual, or you have to go over and start collecting Spectacular Spider-Man to find out what happened to Daredevil, that kind of stuff. And I hate that. Luckily, Skybound is doing that, but in a smaller way. Like the Void Rivals, G.I. Joe, and Transformers. That's not a lot you have to worry about because it's not going to be a lot of things you have to jump over and try to figure out.
Well, and so far, they're all kind of independent of each other. You can read one without having to know the others.
Yeah, and I think that's not always going to be the case looking at Void Rivals. And definitely
Yeah,
with
Void Rivals
Transformers.
is like the bridge between them.
Well, yeah, Void Rivals was what started the Energon universe. So yeah, I wasn't sure
Yeah.
how I like it at first, and then hey, they brought is it Skyfire in the comic or is it Jetfire? Anyways,
He's Jetfire.
okay, so it's Jetfire.
Yeah.
It has a Skyfire look. So when they brought Jetfire in, I kind of wanted to know more about it. But they did bring in Jetfire into the main Transformers book. So I think Void Rivals is a bridge to bring characters in also. So like we've seen, hope this doesn't spoil anything for anyone. This Skuggzoid, we have Springer and Hot Rod and talking about different things with Energon, and actually the Quintessons are in that. So yeah, I mean it's
Yeah.
expanding the universe. It's almost like Void Rivals caters more towards season three expansion, because when you look at the cartoon, season three was very space expansive, whereas the first two seasons of Transformers are very much mostly on Earth or Cybertron, either way.
Yeah, and I mean we've got a another Trion tied up with the Void Rivals.
I need to read the new one, so don't
Are
spoil it.
you
But
behind?
the newest, well, maybe behind two of them, so don't say anything more about that.
Oh, well, no, that popped up like about 4 or 5 issues ago.
Oh, then I've probably read it then. I've
Yeah. That's why they're called Zertonians.
Oh, that's right. I do remember that. And it was like
Yeah.
mentioned. It wasn't a big platform, but it was mentioned. Okay.
Yeah.
That's yeah, I do know that. So you're not ruining things like some
Yes.
people tend to do. So I appreciate that.
I try.
And everyone listening, trust your friends. If they say they want to be spoiled, you say, "Are you sure?" Because you can't put that toothpaste back in the tube. So, anyways, hey, real
Yeah.
quick, before we get going on this, I want to really say this, because most people who listen, they check it out, they'll listen to the first 5 or 10 minutes and they say, "Nah, whatever, it's not for me." That's fine. But we have a lot of people who do listen every week. And according to statistics on YouTube, about 80% of the people who listen to the episodes don't subscribe. So, subscribe. It's not going to hurt, it's not going to mess up, anything else. It's going to tell you when we put out new episodes, which should be weekly, but just in case, I want to make sure
Very
that
weakly, not
so weekly. The so yeah, just I see it on other YouTube people, just go ahead and do me a solid and click on that subscribe. You don't have to do the bell so it notifies you. Just when you're up on YouTube, like, oh, what are the guys doing? The More Than Meets These Guys, and it'll come up on that. So yeah, I was just gonna throw that out there because it's funny looking at the statistics. That's me. I love looking at stats on that stuff. Spotify is a fun new one I've started to look at, which you start getting cross-eyed. But YouTube, I just if you guys are listening and more than once, or you think you might be interested in checking this out again, just hit a subscribe, and it's much easier to find this every week. But cool to give us a like on those videos and all that, and tell your friends, tell your grandparents. Who knows? Maybe they think robots are cool. But anyways,
comment. Please comment.
comment, please. Yes. You don't have to be first. You can be second or third.
Yeah.
We're
See if
not
he can
Ricky.
beat Zabgoth.
Yeah, you
So
don't. You're
far,
not
he's
bigger.
our.
Not Ricky Bobby here. You're not first. You're last. No, that's not what we do. Come on, everyone's invited.
He's our
Okay, so
champion so far. So I'm waiting to see if
he.
anyone dethrones him.
Or old Robbie Rotten himself.
Yep.
Anyway, so
So about this cover that you like, this is done by Will Simpson.
Well, he does the next cover too. I like this style a lot.
Yes, and he's from Northern Ireland, and he's known for working on 2000 AD, Hellblazer, Excalibur, Aliens Rogue, Punisher 2099, Batman Legends of the Dark Knight, and he did over 20 of the Transformers UK comics.
Oh, very cool. Like I said, he's on
But,
the next one too, which I love. The next cover's awesome. So,
oh yeah, well, you may be familiar with some of his other work because he also works as a storyboardist and a concept artist. Which some of the work he did was on Reign of Fire. Did you ever see that one about the dragons?
yeah, I saw that a few times years ago.
Yeah, Matthew McConaughey was in that one.
All right, all right.
And then he worked on Game of Thrones,
Oh,
and he is
dragons.
credited for designing the White Walkers as well as all of the show's weapons.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I mean, the White Walkers are essentially frozen lich, or
Yeah.
not zombies, so that's awesome looking. Very
Bitch
cool.
sickles.
Yeah. No, I know. I of course, I'm a huge Hellblazer fan, so I'm sure I've seen some of his cover work.
That's why I made sure to mention
Yeah, I appreciate that.
that.
You got me. You
You
got
know,
me
a
this
lot of
time.
these guys worked on Hellblazer and on, like, 2000 AD, stuff like that. Like,
Yeah,
there's a lot of common threads here.
I'm willing to be, I bet some of these people, I know some of these people did work on Preacher as well. That
Oh,
whole,
yeah, that wouldn't surprise me.
that Vertigo, was that Vertigo? Yeah, it was Vertigo. That the dark, creepy side of
DC.
DC, yeah, like Swamp Thing and so on. So yeah, I wouldn't doubt a bit that they did that some work in there too.
Okay, and our interior art was done
Yeah.
by Barry Kitson, which he did the cover for Transformers UK number 8, the one that had Megatron holding Optimus over his head.
Oh, okay, cool. Nice.
So, and he's worked on lots of titles for DC, I mean, and Marvel, like a lot. He worked on Action Comics, various Batman titles, Flash, JLA, Lobo, various Superman titles, Azrael, Alpha
Okay.
Flight, Amazing Spider-Man, Avengers, Fantastic Four, lots of Iron Man titles, Secret Invasion, Thor, Weapon X, Wolverine, and 2000 AD, among many, many others. Like,
Wow.
Barry Kitson's done a lot of work.
Damn. I mean, he looks the style is really cool. And I'll go into that when we get into the episode or episode the issue a bit more. I really like the art style.
Now we have another alumni from earlier UK issues
Okay.
back. Gina Hart is back doing the colors.
I saw that. I saw that. Which we'll go into more of that later, but yeah, Gina Hart, who does a great job, and the coloring, everything here looks like it has a shine to it.
And she
It's really
did
nice.
Man of Iron, the Enemy Within, and Raiders of the Last Ark.
Yeah.
And famously, she started coloring Megatron with that gold chest, like on the box
Yep.
art. That's
Yep.
like a UK signature that she started.
And yeah, obviously she didn't do last issue, Decepticon Dambusters, this two-parter, but they used her concept art for Megatron to, make the newer models in there
Right,
or
they
newer designs.
followed her style.
Yeah, which you would do. I mean, that makes complete sense. So yeah, you have that going on. So that's kind of cool. It's funny. I was like, man, I'm really loving this John Stokes art, but it seems a little different. And like the next page, of course, I look over and oh, that's not John Stokes.
It's not John
Barry Kitson.
Stokes.
This
See, so
is
you're not so stoked.
nice.
Wah wah.
This is this starts to really get into the late Marvel G1 US run and the typical UK Marvel run with the faces are being more anthropomorphic. Like you see cheekbones, you see lines in the face. That's all the characters have that going on. Even as we'll see Wheeljack later on he looks like a dude wearing a mask. It looks like he's wearing, a ninja mask and has the things on his head. But his face, his upper face has concentration or stress lines in it a lot. And I know not everyone likes that. I personally do. Because you
Yeah,
see a
you
lot
see a
of
lot of that
expression.
later in the series from like
Yeah.
Andrew Wildman and Stephen
Yes.
Baskerville.
Yeah. But Andrew Robin is really well known for that. But like even the end of the US G1 run. I mean, God, especially because of the there were a lot of pretenders in the end there. You see a lot of that, but also all the Transformers were stuck as Action Masters. Like because of the Nucleon. So you got a lot more of that facial expression, and you had to because the thing about drawing robots is they look dead. Look at Rom Space Knight. He doesn't ever have an expression. And
Well, there's things you can get away with with a robot face in animation because you can actually see them move, but you have to exaggerate that in a comic because you only have like a still to go by.
And that's why I think that this style of the anthropomorphizing the faces of robots in this works really well. It looks like a dude wearing armor, essentially, but like Ratchet in the first what is this the first panel? No, it's not. Okay, the second page. It works extremely well. Even like Guardian here, his face the whole bottom of it under the eyes has a lot of those facial features like we're talking about. But yeah, so I'm really happy that. So yeah, here are my notes. John Stokes' art is so much better than any reason to be, and we see Guardian hold the battered form of Swoop. Note, it's Barry Kitson. I mean, like, it's not far off of what Stokes is doing, but Stokes is a lot more detailed with the backgrounds. So it is a take away from John Stokes. But the Dinobots still very cartoon. Well, no, they look a lot very toy accurate, except for Grimlock's lost the nod on the side of his snout where the screw would have
Yeah.
been. So, which is
He
not a
took
bad
his nose ring out.
thing. I know he had an owl already and just grew in finally.
Right.
But yeah, so that's really cool. And we getting right into this, we see like Guardian's holding the battered form of Swoop on the ground. It looks like he's trying to pull him apart, or he's looking at him kind of weird.
Yeah.
I don't and Swoop is out of it, his head's all back and stuff. And they did this really neat thing, or they kind of do a quick recap of where we left at the end of the last issue. And you have you know how a lot of times during X-Men and Alpha Flight and all these Marvel titles, they'd have all the heads like on the side of like who is the main characters in the story?
Right.
They kind of do that with the Dinobots real quickly. They kind of, reintroduce them and to kind of show their shock, which is kind of neat. Except Snarl's head is gray.
Yeah.
Come on, which
Well,
one,
I
Gina?
mean, well, you have Slag's frill is,
Yeah.
his shield is gold here and it should be silver, but
Yeah.
it is what it is.
Exactly.
And Snarl's head is like that weird kind of see-through, like translucent plastic. It's kind of brownish, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, it doesn't really bother me that much. I'm not worried about it or anything like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyways, they see what's happening, they're freaked out and they charge. Because they are very much delicate fighters.
Yeah.
So immediately they charge in dinosaur mode and start fighting Guardian. And yeah, so this is the first panel of the second page is where you have Ratchet and those you see his cheekbones, the lines down his face. Just looks really good. Like they really took a lot of care for Ratchet in these books. And it's nice seeing it because the American books weren't always that careful.
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah, I mean he's essentially the main character for a while now, so they took care of him.
Yeah.
And he said like he's like he's too powerful. You'll never be able to fight him with brute force. You'll lose. So on and so forth. And Guardian sees him coming and just like tosses back Swoop on the ground. All right, let's do this.
Right.
And uppercuts Grimlock immediately. And we always we're so used now to Grimlock being the almost like the overpowered Dinobot. He's like he's got the guy you want to go take in there and to a fight, and he immediately gets uppercutted. And the next page, major coloring issue. I don't know what happened here, but like things that should be gold are all they're all pink,
Yeah, they're magenta. And
magenta.
that's part of your four color process there. And it looks like they have either switched some plates or left a plate out or something.
That's exactly what happened. It looks like because it's all the things that should be gold are exactly that magenta. So that's probably exactly what it is.
Yeah. And even the backgrounds, because when you see it in the collected comics, they have it corrected. And like all everything that's yellow and gold is right, and the backgrounds change colors. But what's interesting is you see that bottom left panel where Ratchet is like holding his chin and thinking. Okay, that yellow to green, that's what all the backgrounds are supposed to look like. Well, when they corrected it in the collected comics, that one is transposed and it's like the magenta background. Like
Maybe
we
they
see
just
in the other panels.
yeah, maybe they had to sacrifice that one panel for the rest of them,
Yeah,
which
something got switched around,
yeah, that's not a
but
bad thing. If you're gonna fix it, like fix the majority and lose that one.
yeah.
That
So
also it kind of reminds me, his laser scalpel, it's not supposed to be magenta either, is it?
no, I don't believe so.
Okay.
Let's
That it
see.
should be like silver or gold or whatever. I don't know. I remember seeing it from previous issue. So,
Yeah, it's gold. It comes
okay,
out
yeah, so
gold.
the same
Yeah.
thing, same problem there. Okay, well, hopefully in the corrected version they switched it on the last panel, so his laser scalpel is gold where the background gets some offset. So,
Yeah, they it's fixed also in the collected comics.
hey, you know, good trade-off.
Yeah.
But dude, he takes and like chokes out Sludge immediately, and then you know Snarlsaw starts trying to tail whip him, and he beats Snarl on the ground, and it's not going well. But Ratchet's over there. He's you know thinking. He's doing what he does because he's not a fighter. He's like, how do I exploit a weakness? So,
Oh yeah, he's trying to think of like what's wrong with them.
yeah, and according to what he says here, Guardian is an Omega class battle droid, and this is like a little joke here. He's beating the tar out of them.
Yes.
Okay, that's a little subversive, little dad joke in there.
Yeah, because they just woke up from a tar
Out of the
pit.
tar, yeah.
Yeah.
So he's zing.
Womp
so apparently he's got 2-foot-thick armor plating, a neural hydraulic musculature, and enough stored energy to power a space transit. It's virtually unbeatable, but it has 2 weaknesses, which he starts to note. A strong magnetic field messes up their central data core, and there's a cerebral access port that could emit a fine laser beam, like
Yes.
a laser scalpel.
And that magnetic field weakness we've already seen in action
With
in,
Windcharger.
yes, when Windcharger took him out in Raiders of the Last Ark.
Oh, that's
So
actually kind of funny.
yeah,
Like,
that kind of continuity is really
yeah,
nice.
it is. And you know, once again, Gina Hart worked on Raiders of the Last Ark, so it's kind of cool that it comes back around.
Yes.
And he's over here. He's like, well, if I can only remember where that port is. So he watches the fight, and yeah, man, dude, Guardian about breaks slagged with a punch down, straight down. And yeah, he's over there. Execution sequence commence. So he's basically like his program saying like, all right, I beat them all up. Trying to start executing them. Ratchet does a whole thing where he climbs up Grimlock's back, and he's like, yeah, sorry about this. And it gets him a spot. He's like, you know, I guess he gets a little high ground. You know, kind of like Wheelie did in the Transformers '86 movie. He gets a higher
Yeah.
ground so he can get a good shot. And he finds the port, shoots it, and basically makes Guardian just freak out, overload and stuff.
Yeah, it overloads his cranial systems.
Ah, there we go. Yes, cranial
Yeah.
systems overload, unit survival threatened. And he's got trying to go activation or repair program essential. So he's trying to find a place to lay low so he can repair.
Right.
And this is what starts up to this point. The Dinobots have been listening to Ratchet. They've been trying to learn when they can from Ratchet. They've been, you know, easy to get along with her. They're getting along both at this point. And basically at this point, Ratchet's like, you know, if you want praise, you're not gonna get it. That was really bad. And Grimlock's like, yeah, dude, don't start spare me the lecture, don't start talking to me like that. This is where the art gets a little weird for me. Like,
Yeah.
all of the Dinobots are very weirdly proportioned in robot mode.
Their heads are big. That's
Their
the
heads are
problem.
huge.
Yeah.
And it's really off-putting. Like everyone else is fine. The
Yeah.
Guardian's good, Ratchet's good, and later on we see the Omans, they're good. The Dinobots, though, are just kind of weird.
Yeah,
Like
it's because their heads are too big.
yeah, that's very much, you know, it's honestly the fact that it's colored so well and there's such a nice shading in here, really it makes me like, you know, it makes me give it a pass because I
They've
really
got their
like
blockies proportions.
they do. They
It
so do.
all comes back to blockies, man.
Yeah. But he's like, look, you know, if you really want to be of some use to us, Grimlock says to Ratchet, you can repair a swoop. And Ratchet's like, look, I get it. He's your buddy, and I'd like to repair him, but there's other things to repair first. Because he ain't the most important one we need right now. I need help.
Yeah, he told him basically we got a whole ship full of wounded.
Yeah, your dude is not more important than everyone else. And he'll just have to wait his turn. And Grimlock gets pissed. And he's
Yeah.
like, you know, listen up, Doc. He's like, no, you listen to me. There's arc full of Autobots in need of repair and extensive repair. And he goes, and logic dictates that some of them take precedence over Swoop and the others. So The need for extra rash stupidity is minimal, to say the least. He basically says, don't be a dummy. We got things to do, and you're not helping right now.
Yeah, he's a little guy talking smack to the big boss.
Thing is, though, he knows that he's important, so he has leverage.
Oh yeah,
And they
and
can
then
repair Swoop.
on top of that though, it's like the Dinobots aren't used to hearing somebody talk smack to Grimlock.
Dude.
And we see Grimlock kind of as a, it's this is foreshadowing to how he is later when he's, you see the bully Grimlock here.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a snarl. It's kind of crack up about how he got told off.
Oh, they're all kind of smirking if you look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the Brute Squad. They have no qualms. They're like making fun and ragging on each other.
Yeah. And
And
Grimlock doesn't take kindly to that.
no. Well, Ratchet's like, you want to make yourself useful. There's a robot running around that we need to take care of. So keep him from get me under my feet, will you? It's like, y'all go do the menial stuff. Let the medic take care of your stuff.
And see, this is where you see Ratchet like the Hawkeye Pierce.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
He's essentially in command right now.
Yeah, he's in command. He's mouthing off because he's got, bodies to heal.
Yeah.
So you guys go do what you gotta do.
War is hell. Yeah,
Right?
Hawkeye Pierce. So we Ratchet's like running through the arc, and he looks over and he's spooked by Optimus Prime's body just standing there.
Right.
It's
And
just, it's like, whoa.
now, going counter to what I was bragging on them for their continuity,
Yeah.
we have a continuity issue here.
Okay.
Because in, I guess, Transformers issue number 8, Optimus had one of his arms disintegrated by Megatron's fusion cannon.
Oh, he did. That's right.
Yeah, and somehow it's repaired. So we can only guess that Shockwave repaired it.
Dude, there's no telling. I mean, who knows? Yeah, we'll go with that.
Yeah.
Maybe the arc side of repair. I don't know.
Yeah, well it happened, before Ratchet got back in because Ratchet didn't
Yep.
repair it, so it had to be something else happened between, when Shockwave blasted everybody and now.
Yeah, and this is actually one of those instances of Ed's favorite literary trope. Chekhov's gun.
Oh yeah.
So his body's just sitting there, like, okay, well, of course, Decepticons have his head. So he kind of recounts the thing like, well, they're trying to extract the creation matrix. As long as he's of use to Shockwave, he'll remain alive. Which, then we go over right to Shockwave. It's like, when you're watching a show, like, as long as this is all working out, he'll be fine. You see like the fade away to the other side.
Meanwhile,
Meanwhile, on the oil rig, yeah, he's like, Shockwave's like, you're the only one that remains among the Autobots, which he doesn't know all the things that are happening in the arc, obviously. And you're gonna stay alive while you have purpose. And he's, Optimus Prime's like, you might as well kill me if you want to try to get the Creation Matrix stuff out of me, because I'm not gonna give it to you. And Shockwave's, no, we're already making progress, bud. We got six new Decepticon brain modules that have been formed.
And we got some weird blockies
Yeah.
proportions on Shockwave there too. He's got that
Yeah, there's
wide
another one
head
where
and
his
the,
head's too big. Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, Kitson is I don't know if it's the fact that he's maybe it's because he's rushed or something. Maybe he's trying to get a certain style down. But yeah, the head once again is too big.
Yeah.
So
We also have another continuity issue.
oh, really?
Yeah. Now, where it talks about, he used up the last vestiges of the Matrix.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm creating those six modules. That's not true. Because those modules were actually created before he transferred the creation matrix to
That's
Buster.
right. That's right. I remember him, Shockwave talking about that he needed
Yeah.
them to bring the he needed the creation matrix to bring them life.
Yeah, and if
Yeah.
you look like when Buster finds Optimus' head, there's the glowing box is right behind
Yeah.
Optimus's head gathering the energy. So
Yeah.
he was already draining it out of him.
Yes. But I
And
guess
you'll see later, and it's actually a clip from the American comic that they didn't correct, but it points out that those modules were infused with life in issue 6, which, was, you know, the episode or the issue where he transfers the power to Buster at the end.
Yeah.
So, yeah, these things were given life before. So this is not a necessary correction
Yeah.
to say it was the last vestiges of the Matrix.
Well, I think the last bit he had that before he gave off the actual creation side of it to Buster.
Right. Well,
Yeah.
the way they're doing it is like there's a little bit of the energy left over, like they're correcting an
Yeah.
oversight from the American
Yeah.
comic, but it wasn't necessary because this creation process had been going on since issue 5,
Yeah.
like in the background.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that's
Well,
a one of the little issues here.
terrible guys.
Or I guess you could say it's a divergence between the US and the UK comics.
Yeah, I guess, you have to bridge them together. That
Yeah.
probably get that sort of thing. And once again, we have that the Optimus Prime's head is very rounded and it almost looks, that the eye part that you can see at the top of the nose, it's a little blocky, but it still looks very, he has a lot of human features.
Yeah, well, he's missing a couple of pieces off of his head too.
Yeah, like the higher antennas off the side of his head definitely are,
Yeah.
I think that's, the only thing that's really missing. So it looks kind of weird without it. But yeah, anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, the main creation power lies safely within the mind of someone else. And then we go to Buster.
Yep.
He actually looks like he's being drawn like old Peter Parker Silver Age comics.
Yeah, maybe a little Johnny Storm there.
A little bit, yeah. Well, the blonde hair, yeah, that kind of throws it off. But dude, he's trying to fix a tape deck. And he's sitting there, I guess he's trying to solder a circuit board, and he just like tosses it over his shoulder, like that thing's busted. Might as well get rid of it. And then
Then
he
he
gets,
turns into David Bowie, so
yeah, he
yeah.
does actually. He's got some of those Kirby style, like cosmic power, power the power cosmic like green bubbles on the screen.
Yeah.
They show like God, Silver Surfer, he's traveling through space, and you see those kind of Kirby crackles and stuff all
Yes,
over
they
the place.
need the Kirby crackles and
That would, if they
there's a
had the Kirby
complete.
crackles, it'd be straight on. But yeah, but honestly, it's kind of cool. The background to this, you see, almost like a line art of his head. Look, David Bowie. It
Yeah.
looks really cool. I like that a lot. His actual face, the colored one of his face, not really digging the art on that.
Yeah.
But it's almost like whenever Sam in the Michael Bay movies has the piece of the Allspark.
Oh yeah, that's absolutely where that came from, was from this arc.
Yeah, he accidentally discharges a bunch of the Creation Matrix stuff, and he fixed the tape player, which starts into Bruce Springsteen Glory Days.
Yes.
Yeah, so oh, if you look a little closer, you can kind of almost make out like they tried to do Bruce Springsteen, but kind of faded. Yeah. Anyways.
Oh yeah, if you zoom in far enough, you can read it.
Yeah.
He was making a mixtape. Oh, you know what that is?
What's
See
that?
that's a bootleg.
Oh, Maxell, the black ones with the gold stickers, and you do the write the name of them on there. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, see.
That's probably recorded from the radio, or not.
Early piracy there.
That guy formed Napster,
Right?
LimeWire, if you'd like. But in the meantime, Ratchet started to work on, a lot of the Autobots. He can get up quickly, like immediately brings a Wheeljack, who is kind of having issues. He's not quite all there yet, which is, kind
Not
of,
that he was there a lot to begin
yeah.
with.
Well, I mean, he something's like he zones out looking at stuff, and
Yeah.
Ratchet's like, dude, it's fine, you'll actually, that's not Ratchet, that's
It's
Prowl.
Prowl. Yeah.
He's like, I felt the same way when it came back all sluggish, and you'll come back to you, don't worry about it. And
Yeah, they've been taken apart for a while.
yeah, they the old flatliner here went down too long. But Prowl is he's they're talking about trying to find Wheeljack's saying like, I need to find an errant battle droid so I can't like you can't take over me, I gotta do this, when Prowl offers him to help. So what does Prowl do? He goes and hangs out and sees Ratchet, and it's kind of disturbing. Ratchet's working on Jazz and says, I had to give up on Sunstreaker, I don't know if he'll ever be back online, because he's
Yeah.
just that off.
Well, he got wrecked when Shockwave was talking to Megatron and
Uh-huh.
threatened him, he picked up Sunstreaker and cut him in half right in front of him as a threat.
Oh, dude, yeah.
So yeah, that's why Sunstreaker is so bad off, because yeah, he was made an example.
Yeah, well, here we go. And then
And see, and that's where the continuity plays really well, because they're keeping track of the injuries.
yeah, they are. Well, this has been a messy whole situation. Like this whole beginning of this comic has been really messy for the Autobots. Well, and Megatron.
Yeah, they're finally getting back on their feet at this point.
Yeah, it took him a while too.
Yeah.
Well, I'd say it took him a while, but I mean, a couple of his issues were were flashbacks of the second episode of More Than Meets These Eyes, the eyes, More Than Meets the Eye. Okay, yeah, part
Yeah,
two of
not
More Than
our
Meets the Eye.
episode. Not
No, I almost did that. I was like, wait, that's not right.
It's hard.
so
It gets stuck in your mouth.
it does.
Yeah.
But Wheeljack's freaking out. I was like, dude, yeah, you guys gotta see this. I'm getting readings that are weird, and I need to see that. You don't need to see this. And Prowl does another one of those really, cool exclamations, and he's like, Icon's Great Dome. And they all three next to each other, they all have like they're not as soft yet, but they all have like the human facial features. I think when you get closer on, like later in the issue, it's gonna be more prevalent. So the Dinobots were really cool about this. I was kind of surprised at how good they were about this. They were just walking down the corridors and like Snarl's like, hey, he's still with us. Talk to Grimlock, and you see Guardian walking behind him. He's like, yeah, he wasn't really built for stealth, so be ready.
Yeah, instead of them hunting him down, they allowed him to track them.
Yeah. They played the they almost play the prey, in a way.
Yeah.
And they spin and use both of their
Energo swords.
Energo swords, yeah, that's weird to me.
Yeah.
Eat Energo sword freak, and they both, slice into Guardian bad.
Yeah, they ambush him.
Yeah, and then like they get out of the way, and like Grimlock's like, okay, slack sludge, hit him. So they lay into him with their rifles, and he is bad off. He's like losing sections of his body. His sections of his infrastructure just are not working anymore. And this is like where I really am enjoying the Dinobots again. But when I was talking about the facial features right here on this panel on I think it's Snarl, isn't it? Yeah, it is. You can see the lines coming down for his face, under the under the cheekbones, and then like bordering the face.
Yeah.
It looks really good, and they are closing in on Guardian. They are they Guardian fell into the trap, and they are going to kill him. And really, cold blood. I mean, if there's blood there, I guess.
Yeah, cold oil.
Cold oil, there you go. But they're all like, Wheeljack and Prowl are like, okay, there is a thermonuclear bomb in one of the Ark's corridors, and it's mobile. And they're trying to get cameras up on it and things like that. So the Dinobots are just walking up on Guardian and like, all right, let's take him out.
Yeah, they've got him down.
Yeah.
And they're right there by Optimus Prime's
His
headless
body,
body.
which is very important. Once again, we talk about Chekhov's gun. So Grimlock goes down and holds a like his gun up to the side of Guardian's head, and that's when they get the cameras online. And Wheeljack and the Ratchet are like, "Oh God, it's Guardian. He's got a bomb in him. And if they kill him, it's going to blow us up. It's going to blow the entire mountain up.
Oh
There's no
yeah,
more
they said it's
Ark.
gonna level Mount St. Hillary and the
Wipe."
Ark.
Wipe it off the face of the earth. And that's where we end this issue. I mean, that's fantastic. I am so enjoying the Dinobots as they are now. It's good stuff, man. They are really they're a good group to watch. They have their own little dynamic.
They're always fun to
Yeah.
watch or read about.
So yeah, I like them because of their own like their independence, which comes and goes. But that actually Grimlock's whole attitude towards Ratchet makes it this next issue coming up, that's gonna be really good. So I cannot wait to get into that.
Oh yeah. So in the next part that we also have the fact files are back.
Yes, I can't wait to see who that is in there. So I'm kind of curious if if the guy from the kid from the last Soundwaves got his wish to have Shockwave in there, we shall see.
Oh yeah, and well, I meant like in this issue, like further down, we have the fact file returns.
Oh, in this issue. Oh,
Yes, in this
gosh.
issue, yeah.
It must have been towards the end of the comic.
Yeah, it's after Machine Man.
Oh, I see that in the preview for the next issue, which has Grimlock punching Ratchet.
Yep.
The Wrath of Grimlock, and look who's on the receiving end. Okay, well, I mean, you knew it was
And
going to happen eventually.
oh yeah, so we got a fact file about Bombshell here. And
I
it goes,
got
it's a rewriting of the Transformers Universe profile. So they basically rewrote Budiansky's profile for him.
Which kind of cool. Someone who listens to our podcast, Tony Buchanan, who does auto update. He actually reached out to me, and they had a contest and didn't have a lot of entries. So he says, "Hey, I'm going to give you a chance if you can answer this real quickly if you want to jump in there." I'm like, "What is it?" He had to guess this Transformer thing and had clues. One of the clues is psychological warfare. Like,
Oh, that's a given right there.
this is Bombshell, man. Funny that this comes up now. So shout out to you, Tony. That was good timing.
Ah, yes.
Yes, Bombshell is my favorite of the Insecticons. He should
And the
be.
line art on this is really cool because it's based off like his box art.
Yes.
Yeah, it's very technical line art. Looks really good.
Yeah, it is. It's I'm not really happy that it's all in yellow. I would nice to have some coloring, but well, who cares, honestly?
Yeah.
It looks really nice. So he uses it talks about all his weaknesses and abilities and such.
How he likes to humiliate his victims.
Yes. Oh yeah, he likes psychological warfare. It's the mind is my playpen is his motto.
Yep.
But so his weaknesses, like someone that were to successfully remove one of the cerebral shells, they can use it against him by sending, let's see, false signals back to him. Some tougher metals are impervious to his laser torch. Often Bombshell will make the mistake of paying too much attention to playing with his victim and not enough to battle. So he's just like a twisted, torture guy,
Yep.
which fantastic.
And
Nice.
his insect mode is listed here as a beetle. I know a lot of people like to think he's a bollweevil,
He's
but
not. He's a, isn't he like a rhino beetle? No, wait.
yeah, he's like a Japanese, I was a rhinoceros beetle, something
Yeah,
like
he
that.
thinks Japanese rhino beetle. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's for years I thought he was a weevil also, but looking back at
Yeah.
this, like if you look at a weevil, there's no way that's what it is.
Well,
Now,
and if you look at his Diaclone name,
yeah,
it's
that's
based
Beatrix.
off of that too, yeah, off of the Japanese name for that beetle.
And I can see why they would think that because of the his proboscis coming off the front. Because if
Yeah.
you look at weevils, they have a kind of cool little thing off of the front of their proboscis, but I mean, he's a beetle. So
Yeah.
cool of them to get this right. There's things that are 40 plus years old in this fandom that we're just, still facing with, from fans who get on and like, I thought he was a weevil. A lot of people go, yeah, he is, of course. And like, is he though? I mean, I don't know. I just have the degree in, natural science and
Yep. And the
studied.
more you dig into the source material for it,
Yeah.
yeah,
I
you
just
find
studied
out little
entomology,
things.
it's whatever. So yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's kind
So we
of
have the scary kid on the back cover.
cool. Yes.
He's pushing the Dinobots.
Now, again, with
And
no
the marketing is
suit.
strong because you got a whole comic about Dinobots here, and then you've got an ad, hey, you can buy these guys.
Yeah, and also it's perfect timing on that. Well, you brought it before where there's no Swoop because Swoop wasn't released in the UK. So, sorry, Swoop. You don't make
Yep.
the cut. But
And
yeah.
then backing it up a little, we have the Marvel Save the Children Fund
Yes,
for
Ethiopia.
Ethiopia. Yes. So, and I mean, a lot of people don't really, that if you weren't around back then, you would know much about like the Ethiopian famine in the mid 80s. But it was a big deal back then. Like it was all over the news, it was everywhere.
I mean, there was Live Aid was huge.
Oh, yeah. And so, I did a little bit of a dive to give a little bit of the story behind this
Yeah.
and its effects for those that aren't familiar with it. But yeah, Ethiopia was in the midst of like a civil war at the time. And then this famine hit, and the standing government refused to pass off any aid they'd received to the areas where the rebels were active. So whether the people were part of the rebellion or not, if you were in the area where the rebels were showing up, then they weren't going to feed you. They're just going to let you die.
Yeah, 100%.
So that caused an international outcry and also caused more people to join with the rebels. So in 1984, international airdrops of food were sent by the Royal Air Force, Sweden, East and West Germany, the United
Yes.
States, Poland, Yugoslavia, and the USSR.
Yeah, think about that. I mean, a lot of nations who were in the midst of the Cold War at this point are all helping out Ethiopia.
Yeah, both sides like
But East
agreed,
and
yeah,
West
we got to
Germany.
do something.
Yeah.
So, and then charity efforts sprang up all over the world. Was it Bob Geldof organized a super group of celebrities into Band Aid, whose
Yep.
single Do They Know It's Christmas became Britain's best-selling single very quickly and raised $8 million. And it's kind of funny because there's
Christmas
some
time
people
ago.
thought it was a little insensitive because Christianity had been in Ethiopia since the first century, so
Yeah.
yeah, they would have known it's
Yeah, that's
Christmas. So
uh
not long after that, USA for Africa followed suit and released We Are the World, and other super groups formed to assist with famine relief funds. Now, there was also a little row that went on in the USA for Africa with like Waylon Jennings, because he quit, he walked out on them because Stevie Wonder was insisting that they sing a verse in Swahili. And Waylon Jennings is like, I'm not going to sing Swahili. And apparently they'd been there very late because even Ray Charles spoke up and goes, I can't even sing in English anymore. We just basically
Nice.
get this over with. And they had some actual Ethiopian nationals there, and they said, we don't speak Swahili in Ethiopia. So the whole thing got shot down at that point, but it was too late to get Waylon Jennings back.
Oh man,
Even though
that's fantastic.
he had sang, he was recorded in the chorus, but he wasn't there for the recording of the video.
Oh, it's funny.
Yeah. So, yeah, more trivia tied up in that. So, other relief funds were started internationally. Like you had SOS, I guess that's Ethiopia from France. I know I'm mispronouncing a lot of these foreign names. So,
Terrible.
yeah. Northern Lights in Canada saying tears are not enough with a lot of Canadian artists and actors. I know like John Candy and like Bryan Adams.
Okay.
You know, we're involved in that.
Yeah.
Yugoslavia had YU, is it Rock Misi Misia Misia? I guess that's like mission. Okay. And then we have Marvel Save the Children for Ethiopia. So in 2010, the BBC reported that 95% of the funds raised to help with the famine victims in Ethiopia in 1985, which
Yeah.
totaled about 100 million, was diverted to rebels and used to buy weapons.
Dude.
Okay. But that's not the end of this controversy because Bob Geldof and other charities
Yeah.
disputed those numbers. Okay. So former members of the rebels told how members of their faction would disguise themselves as merchants to deceive aid workers and sell them bags of sand, pretending it was grain, then spend the money on weapons.
Dude.
Okay. The CIA also reported that money from relief efforts was being used by rebels for military purposes. Okay. Live Aid, Band Aid, Oxfam, UNICEF, the Red Cross, Christian Aid, and Save the Children all denied that any of their millions raised had been used in such a manner and did not accept the claims of the former rebels as facts.
Yeah.
Okay. Then, after that outcry, the BBC did further investigation and found its reports to be misleading and had many misstatements of evidence, particularly in regard to Band Aid's funds. And the BBC issued a statement and an apology that read, "The following a complaint from the Band Aid Trust, the BBC's editorial complaints unit found in its ruling that there was no evidence to support such statements and that they should not have been broadcast." It also added that the BBC wishes to apologize unreservedly to the Band Aid Trust for the misleading and unfair impression which was created. So when it was all said and done, some of the estimates state that over 1 million people died due to that famine, and 2.5 million people were displaced from their homes, and almost 200,000 of them were orphans who lost their parents because of the famine. So it was bad.
Yeah, it was extremely bad. I mean, there were, do you ever like late night infomercials had what's their name? Like blonde woman from a one of
I'm
the
talking about Sally Struthers.
Alice Struthers, thank you.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, she did a lot of work for them trying to get
It became kind of
on the
a like a
court.
running joke because you just always saw her out there, but no, I mean, she did a lot of work, you know, all jokes aside. Real quick, I just wanted to let people know who may not know, because one of the best performances you can find by Queen on the internet on YouTube is from Live Aid. These are the artists who did worked on Live Aid to show you how big this was. This is like at Wembley Stadium in London. David Bowie, Elvis Costello, Queen, U2, Black Sabbath, Elton John, Madonna, Adam Ant, Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, Dire Straits, Joan Baez, The Beach Boys, Judas Priest, The Who, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Bob Dylan, of course Bob Geldof, Boomtown Rats, that's an Irish band I really don't know that much about. Bryan Adams, Bryan Ferry, I'm not sure. Duran Duran, Howard Jones, Nick Kershaw, Paul McCartney. I mean, those are pretty big names, and they packed Wembley Stadium. Yeah, but if you ever want to watch a really good performance by Queen, it's that one at Live Aid is so good.
And it was one of the few times during the Cold War that you saw the whole world come together on one issue.
Oh yeah, this is, you know, is extremely bad, you know. And even like they're putting this in, you know, Marvel books. So that they're reaching out to you know, kids getting, you know, comic books. They're going
Oh
after
yeah,
everything.
everybody was getting on. I kind of wish we had some of that unity now.
Yeah, what happened? I wonder what happened. So yeah, that's really neat to see that. And it was bad. If you guys think, you know, there are things that are bad now, things in current events that are terrible as well. But this is, you know, a lot of misinformation, a lot of you know, finger pointing, and you know, they people just needed help and they didn't care how they got it. So,
Well, I think it was also the first time you had a famine like this that was televised. Because, like, when you had the Dust Bowl and all that stuff that happened before, it wasn't televised. You know, you have some still pictures and stuff like that. But just like with Vietnam, they said attitudes changed about Vietnam because it was televised. People could turn on TV and see what it was like.
100%.
That it started, like, changing, like, the global consciousness towards all these things.
I kind of miss these big super band, you know, shows altogether. Because you remember Farm Aid to help out U.S. farmers?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that one, because U.S. farmers were languishing in the 80s.
Yeah, it was Willie
So,
Nelson's thing, wasn't it?
yes, it was. This is what used to happen. It's just, it's really, and not to be like, well, you know, I also walked two ways in the snow uphill to work and our school and back. No, it's not like that. I mean, these are really cool things that used to happen a lot. You still see it,
Well,
but
and it wasn't partisan, you
no, it
know.
wasn't. No, there's no reason to be partisan about it. This is trying to help people out. Like,
Yeah.
you know, we see that still, but there's no one's giving excuses and no one's trying to say, yeah, but guess what I found out? No, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, even though the rebels try to, you know, screw it up by you know, making these claims, you know.
Well, like I said, they were just baseless claims because all the charities said that no, they know that food was getting passed on to the famine victims because they were actually like giving it to them. So
So that
they were
that's
very
one
upset about that.
of the yes.
And
This is
the pushback led to a retraction.
which is good.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I'd never heard this part of it, so that's really cool to hear that. Because, you know, a lot of the times the retractions and corrections you don't really hear about.
Oh yeah, they bury them a lot of times, but you know, BBC was cool about it and was upfront about it, so that
That's
good
really
on them.
nice. Yes, exactly. So that's a nice little you know, a time, you know, a time capsule. Kind of puts it where, you know, where this was in the 1980s growing up. I mean, we were kids, but you know, we saw the infomercials, we saw the bands play. So that's really neat. I think actually this might be one of the last times. One of the last major things you saw with Freddie Mercury before he started, and kind of going downhill. If I remember, I think he was really sick during this, but he didn't show it. So that's interesting also. So
Yeah, it is. It's a time capsule from the mid 80s, because anyone that lived through the mid 80s remembers this.
100%.
Yeah, you couldn't
You,
escape it.
no, you couldn't. I mean, the crisis in Ethiopia, AIDS, a lot of started being like a lot of fundraisers for AIDS research.
Yeah.
I mean, there's obviously there's cancer research, but the big
Yeah,
things were
you. I was thinking of what Dionne Warwick's song, That's What Friends Are For.
yep.
They had a lot of songs that, I guess they're activist songs
Yeah.
to really help out, to help charities.
Yeah, and it's funny. I was talking about Dionne Warwick the other day, and my wife and I we were sitting around, reading stuff, and she likes to have on this 70s kind of funk thing on like on I think it's Vivo or something like that. It's on a like one of the Fire TV channels, and it streams like different kinds of music there at different times. And I talk about Dionne Warwick, and I'm like, oh, there she is, and she's like, and she goes, I always heard the name, I just didn't know what she looked like. And yeah, Dionne Warwick was all over the place in the mid 80s, like Solid Gold, things like that. You saw her everywhere. It's kind of neat to see that kind of time capsule too. So, but yeah, that is issue number 31. And with all of the things that happened with the world of 1985,
These are the real world factors right here.
real world factors. When I say you couldn't get away from infomercials about Ethiopian famine. You couldn't do it. I mean, any of the people who are our age watching this, you know what we're talking about.
Well,
People.
that's kind of how infomercials were born,
Yeah,
was through
definitely.
this, yeah.
Yeah, it was. And like, I know some of the people who are younger, some of our Gen Z listeners, Samantha, maybe Trigger, and others, I'm sure, who don't write in or anything like that. Y'all don't really understand how pervasive this was.
I think the only other thing before this that was similar to this was like the Jerry Lewis Labor Day Telethon.
That was a week a year, essentially.
And that would bring, all the celebrities together trying to gather money for muscular dystrophy.
Yeah, actually, I had an uncle who was a World War II vet. I think was it Uncle Dick? Uncle George. I think it's Uncle George. A great uncle of mine who was singing like a barbershop quartet on the Jerry Lewis telephone every year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like Uncle George, and he was always like the patriarch kind of the family, so he, of course, he's the performer. But anyways, yeah, that was a very much a time capsule for the 80s. So
Now
that
they
was
do
neat.
everything online. Everything's like through like GoFundMes and stuff like that.
Yeah,
Even
which
MDA, I believe they still do it, but it's
oh
all
yeah.
online.
Yeah. Which it's like, I don't know, it kind of misses a lot of the soul of it. I don't know.
Well, back then also you had far fewer channels that people
Yes.
could watch, so they kind of had a captive audience. If you were watching TV, then you were seeing this.
100%,
Whereas
yeah.
now it's hard to catch everybody because everyone's everywhere else. There's a
Yeah, you're
million
pretty.
different places your eyes are set.
I think the last vestiges of that is whenever NPR, National Public Radio, does their annual fundraising. So that's kind of neat, which is NPR is one of those things that keeps local stuff and artsy stuff alive, but mostly they get a lot of funding from the government, and they always have, but they get a lot from independent people who donate. So that's some of those things to remember. When you say like, ah, you're gonna give them money, it is honestly, someone hanging out, playing music and asking for money in a parking lot. That's what NPR is doing. They're like, hey, we need to keep the lights on and keep this going, so we need your help. So I appreciate that. So that is issue number 31.
What's gonna stop Grimlock from blowing them all up?
I'm sure his pride would say nothing. So we shall see, everyone. We shall see in the next issue and next week. So thank you for being here. If you are still here listening to us, give us a like, give us a nice rating, write in, like do a review. If you're on Spotify, message about the episode, ask us questions. If you're on Apple Podcasts, same thing, or just email more than meets these guys at gmail.com. And same thing on the YouTube. Leave a comment, leave a like, leave a thumbs up, give a follow. Really
Beat
appreciate all that.
Zabgoth the first.
Oh, please do. Please do.
And don't say first. That's his thing.
No. Primo Commento.
Yes.
That sounds so white. Okay. Anyways, y'all. You have a great week, everyone. And I'll leave it out of here. And if you will take us out of here.
Bye.
Bye.
4 of the Mises Guys is performed by Evan Johns and Ed Strickland with Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. Research is also done by Evan Johns, Ed Strickland, and Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. All used images are property of Hasbro, Sunbow, Paramount, and/or Marvel. And without you, none of this would be possible. So thank you so much for being here, and we look forward to you being here every week.